12th Street. It is great to have you here this morning. It's going to be a great day. Can't you tell? What a way to start this morning with, one day we get to see Jesus face to face. That'll be a wonderful day, won't it? And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's something that you can take care of today. And you can leave here with a promise that you have Jesus Christ and you will see him someday. Well, if you'll take your bulletins and look with me, we have a number of announcements to go through. First of all, if you notice sitting on the front row, this sharp-looking group of people here. We have the Allen family with us, and so I'm really looking forward. They're going to share with us a little bit this morning, and then tonight they're going to put on a full concert for us. It's gonna be a great day, and so just enjoy it. And when you go home this afternoon, invite a couple people that live around you, make a few phone calls, and we're going to have a great night. Now, if you would like to, if you're not going to be here tonight, which I hope everybody is here tonight, but you would like to contribute to the love offering that we're taking up for the Allen family, then you can mark that on your check or on your envelope, and we'll make sure that money gets to them. So want to make sure that if you're not able to be here tonight and you would like to contribute toward them, then go ahead and mark that, and we'll get that to them. We have small groups coming up, and they start next Sunday. And it's going to go from September 18th to October 23rd, and it's on prayer. So pick up one of these books. They're at the Welcome Center. And get involved in a small group, and I have a little video here to help inspire you to get into a small group. In a moment, we'll have a video that will inspire you to get into a small group.
Right there.
Oh dear.
You're not alone.
We love you.
We'll miss you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
All right, so we have a table in the back that's got several small groups, all right? There's one that meets on Thursday night, one that meets on Friday night. There are several that meet on Sunday at different times, different locations. Find one. There are maps to each one by the sign-up sheets, and we would love to have 100% participation in small groups. And as we talk about prayer, study prayer, and we're not just going to study prayer as we pray, it will honestly be a time where you will grow deeper with the Lord and with others here in our church. So make sure that you get involved with the small groups. Next Sunday, all of our committees have meetings following the morning service. So all of our committee members, just make sure that you come prepared to meet. And October 9th, we have our Missionary Sunday and a Mexican potluck. So bring in an appropriate dish to share, and we'll have a great time of fellowship. And also, having a concentration on missions. We have to move all the plants that are on the west side of the building, and we're going to do that on October 15th, because come spring, we have to tear that all the brick off on that side of the building and rebuild that side of the building. So we want to get all the plants moved and give them a shot at survival. So if you would like to come and help do that, October 15th is the date that we will be doing that. There is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center if you could help with that. For the rest of the announcements, you can read in your bulletin. There is a meeting for all those that are going to help with the Haunted Trail for the youth activity at the end of October. That's right after the morning service, and that's going to take place in the classroom right next to the offices, the long, skinny classroom. So all adults that are planning and helping with that, please make sure that you go to that meeting. And I have an announcement from Brenda. Here you go.
Thank you. Good morning.
Ladies, we've begun a Bible study for women, and it's in the morning. It's on the first and third Tuesdays of the month. We've started the study in the book of James, and we've gone through the first chapter, and if you'd like to catch up, you're welcome to pick up a lesson. Also, this is a book that's not part of our study, but for some reason I find it a good help. It's called Me and My Big Mouth. As you will notice, this is a great book that you can read if you'd like to. There's one in the library, or you can check out my copy, either one. So the next meeting is on Tuesday, the 20th at 10 o'clock. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. All right. Make sure you read through your bulletin. There are a lot more announcements, a lot more going on, and we want you to be part of what's happening here at 12th Street. Well, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the way that you love us. And one of the great promises that you give to us is that someday we will meet you in the air. Thank you for the choir reminding us of that this morning. And Lord, I do look forward to that day the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. And then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds to forever be with you, our Lord. What a great day that'll be. But today, Lord, you've called us to be here. And until that day comes that you come and return for us, we just pray that we would be faithful in all that we say and do. And Lord, with today being the anniversary, the 15th anniversary of the events that took place in New York City with the Twin Towers, we thank you that you're a God who has not ever been removed from his throne. And we remember those events. I pray, Lord, that as a nation, we would remember what those events did to us and bringing us back to look to God. And as people, Lord, remember those events today, as we have opportunity even this week to talk with people about those things, I pray that we would be faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we would not just talk about God in general, that we wouldn't just talk about faith being necessary, but we would be diligent to talk about Jesus Christ, the hope and Savior of mankind. And so, Lord, give us those opportunities, we pray. As we spend this time here together as a church, I pray that we would be encouraged this morning, that our faith would be built up, that our relationships would be bonded more strongly together, that our love for each other and our love for others would grow exponentially. But Lord, most of all, we just need to love you. And so through every song that we sing, through every song that we hear, through every opportunity we have this morning to interact with each other, I pray that we would just allow for you to have your way. Be powerful in the way that you speak to us, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Crown Him Majesty. Heaven. more time. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem rings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You today urging to hear what Thad has to bring to us, what You have laid upon his heart. Lord, I pray for each and every individual in this church that whatever rainy cloud is hanging over their head, that they have the joy in knowing that You are right by their side, walking with them. Lord, I just pray for this offering that we are about to give and the church is about to receive, that it goes to Your glory, Lord, and that it is just You have the have a way with the offering to where it just betters the church. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as we take up the offering here, I'm going to it's a real pleasure to have the Allen family with us this morning. So let's give them a 12th Street welcome as they come to minister to us.
Oh. 2014, we moved the first children to the orphanage, and that's our precious children right now.
For more of that, you have to come back tonight. So 6 o'clock tonight, be here a little bit early, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. And afterward, we're going to have some, we've got some refreshments, so make sure that you're here tonight. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as our children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to start in the book of Proverbs this morning. We just finished the book of Judges. How many of you are really glad we're done with the book of Judges? All right? Boy, that's just a rough ending to that book, wasn't it? You know, and when you go through the book of Judges, sometimes you look at it and you go, how in the world do I thrive when the Bible's full of stuff like that? Well, thriving is not about our circumstance. Thriving is about our Lord. Yeah. Is our theme for this year is that we are given a license to thrive. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. You know, we should be thriving. Yeah. You know, we look at the landscape of our country. We're through, don't you hate election years? Oh, my goodness. The rhetoric that takes place and all of the negativity. You know, we live in the greatest nation on this planet. Because we still are a nation who is under God. And to think back to 15 years ago, I remember where I was. We had Kayla was in her bassinet next to our bed. I had just gotten up. I was getting ready for the morning, and Rachel, she says, Thaddeus, you've got to come here. So I walk out into the room, and there on the TV, we're watching planes fly into the World Trade Center. And I remember then, people were saying, well, what do we do? You know what we do as Christians? We share Jesus Christ, because he is the only hope for mankind. What do we do during these elections where there's just so much negativity? We share Jesus Christ because he is the hope for mankind. And how do we act? How do we as people, what do we do for this world? Well, I think this morning, as I go through this message, you know, first and foremost, we share Jesus Christ, okay? I mean, that's the number one thing. He is the hope. He is the hope. He is the hope. No matter who the next president is, we need to point the world to Jesus Christ. So now how do we conduct ourselves? What is our course of action? Well, there was a Sunday school teacher. She asked her eager 10-year-olds that if they had $1 million, would they give it to the missionaries? And of course, the whole class started to scream, yes! She said, if you had $1,000, would you give it to the missionaries? And they all said, yes! How about $100? And they all said, yes! And then she said, if you had just $1, would you give it to the missionaries? And all the kids said yes, except for one. And she looked at the one child. She said, why aren't you saying yes? You did the other times. And the little boy reached into his pocket and said, but I actually have $1. I don't preach on money much, and I'm not really preaching on money this morning. But the scriptures give us this attitude that we should have. And it's called the attitude of generosity. We need to be generous people. You know, as we share Jesus Christ with the world, if the world looks at us and says, you're sharing Christ with me, and how Christ is so benevolent, and how Christ is so merciful, and so gracious, and so giving, but yet we're not giving, we're not benevolent, then how in the world is the world ever going to know our Lord? Because we're the ones who talk about him. We also have to be the example. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. It says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Now, a bountiful eye is a generous. It's talking about someone who has the outlook on life where they want to be generous. They want to find ways that they can help. And he that gives to the poor, Proverbs 28, verse 27, turn there with me real quick. Proverbs 28, 27. He that gives to the poor shall not lack. But he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. I love seeing a presentation like what the Allens gave us with the missions work that they're doing. Okay? And here's my goal for us as a church, that next year we send at least somebody with them to Uganda to take part in that. And so I hope that everybody here, you're going to hear more about it tonight, but I hope you're thinking, I'm going to be that person. All right? And if you want to go, God will provide. Because he that gives to the poor shall not lack. See, this is a principle that the world does not teach. The world does not teach, give of yourself and you'll have what you need. Give of your goods and you'll have the goods that you need. Give of your money, you'll have the money you need. Not that you're going to become rich through this, but that God is a great supplier. He that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. When we turn a blind eye to the needs of others, when we turn a blind eye, especially to the poor, then we ourselves bring a curse. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17 says, he that has pity on the poor lends unto the Lord. And in my Bible, the word Lord is all capitals, which means that this is the high and holy name for the Lord. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. This is the Almighty. And here's what it says. When we have pity on the poor, we lend to the Lord. Does the Lord need money? No. He paves heaven with the streets of gold just to remind us of that. But what the Lord does want is for us to help others. He gives to us so we can be his arms, his hands, his feet, his help to those who need it. And he that has pity on the poor lends unto the Lord. And that which he has given, will he pay him again? This principle is, it's mistaught, because some people teach, you know, you give to other people and God's going to make you rich. That's not at all what this passage is saying. This passage is saying, you take care of the needs of others, God is going to take care of your needs. It's the same thought as in Matthew chapter 6, that we should be seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things, what things? Well, the things of clothing, of food, of shelter, all those things. God takes care of those for us when we put his kingdom first and seek his kingdom first. That's what this passage is telling us. And in Proverbs 19, 17, the Lord knows how to give back to us what we need. Okay, one of the greatest illustrations of this, she's not here this morning, so I'll tell a story about my daughter, Kayla. She had a friend in school who was blind. And her friend didn't have a Bible, never had had a Bible. And so Kayla wanted her friend to be able to have a Bible. But we looked at Braille Bibles. Okay, a Braille Bible would take up the entire front of this church. And that's kind of hard for a young person to carry around or to take to school to give to their friend. And so we found an audio Bible. And the audio Bible cost $70. And I'll never forget, Kayla had $70. She was so thrilled. She had enough money to pay for her friend's Bible. And so she bought that Bible and gave it to her friend, the audio Bible. And her friend said every night he would listen to it and would talk to her about what he was listening to. And she was so excited about that. Well, somebody in the church said, hey, Kayla, I've got something for you. And they gave her some coins. And they were a bunch of old coins. She took them in to be appraised. And guess how much those coins were worth? $70. All right? When God says, give because you're lending to the Lord, and that the Lord will repay, he'll take care of you, he is truthful. We've seen this so many times in our life. Turn to Proverbs 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24 says, there is that scatters and yet increases. All right, this is like, I don't know about you, but if you've ever, I don't know why we do this, but we always fill, we got a spreader that we hook to the back of our lawnmower, and we put fertilizer in there, and we fertilize our grass. I don't know why we do that, because now we have to mow our grass more often, because it just grows quick. I think it's part of the opulence of being an American. I don't know, but we pour the chemicals into the back of this spreader, and as the spreader goes, it kicks out the chemicals and it fertilizes our yard. Okay, it scatters, but as it scatters, it doesn't fill back up. That would be really nice, right? No, Rachel will stop by the house and I'll grab another bag and I'll dump it in, and then she'll go whipping around the yard again. But here's the principle that the Lord is teaching us here in Proverbs 11. There is that scatters and yet increases. As we scatter, as we give, as we help others, here's what God does back. He increases us. He increases what we have, not so that we have more to hang on to, but so that we have more to distribute, so that we have more to give. And then look at the second part of this verse. And there is that withholds more than is meet, or more that is necessary, or more that is proper. There are some, they have enough to give, but they don't. They have enough to help, but they don't. They have enough to share, but they hang on to it. And here's what happens with them. It tends to poverty. Howard Hughes, he was really, really rich. If you're old, you might remember who he is, or if you've read history. All right, he was one of the billionaires in America. They asked him at the end of his life, "What would make you happy?" And he said, "One more dollar. One more dollar." Really? That would make you happy? He had enough dollars. You see, when you don't scatter, when you don't distribute what is proper, it lends to poverty. It, not saying that you don't have money, but you're not rich in the eyes of God. You're not wealthy in God's economy. Look at the next verse, verse 25 in Proverbs 11. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Now, that's not liberal politically. That's liberal in your giving. That's liberal in your benevolence. This is true generosity. Those who are generous will be made fat. Okay, I know all of you dieting are like, oh, that settles it. I'll never be generous again. This is being fat. This is being well taken care of. This is having what you need and enough left over to give out to help others. He that waters shall be watered also himself. Here's the thing that you'll find with God. The more you help take care of others, the more God takes care of you. The less time you have to worry about, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to? No, you don't worry about those, because as you're watering in other people's lives, God waters your life and takes care of you. A couple years ago, I handed out a dollar to everybody in the church. I don't know if some of you remember that. I hope that dollar is turned into something. But Jack, why don't you come on up here? Jack's going to share with us an illustration of being generous. All right? And I'll just let Jack share it. So come on, Jack.
Back in 2013, in May, my pastor and his family gave me a dollar. They said, take this dollar and make it grow. I took my dollar, I took it home, and I threw it in my cricket cage. And there it sat. This particular time, I was trying to lose a little weight, but every day, I'd stop and get a paper, coffee, and a candy bar. Didn't make sense. One day I decided I'm going to quit getting the candy bar. And I'm going to take whatever candy bar cost and throw it into my cricket cage. Pretty soon, my cricket cage was filling up. We went downtown to Bronson Park to feed the homeless. I was able to take money out of my cricket cage and make some bracelets. What the bracelets told is the salvation story. I was able to send kids to camp because of my cricket cage. I helped a lady get groceries one night. She couldn't pay for them. But I said, don't worry. I got it. I got a cricket cage that God has blessed. He has blessed me time and time again because of a seed dollar in a cricket cage. And I want to thank God for blessing me the way that he does. And I want to thank you for listening to my seed dollar in a cricket cage. Thank you.
It takes eyes to see that there are others that have need. It takes a little bit of planning to pull out a cricket cage and then to make a plan of putting a little bit of money away from self and towards somebody else. And then when it says that he that waters, God waters them, look how full that cricket cage was. Jack, what's worth more to you? What's in that cage or what's in your heart? Because I tell you, Jack will call me when he gets a chance sometimes to pull something out of the cricket jar, and he'll say, you won't believe what that dollar seed money has done today. And it's awesome. You know what? What's going on in here far surpasses anything that could ever be put in the bank account. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. All right, think of giving this way. Giving is a can of pop. And you give to the Lord, you're just shaking up your can of pop. And then it's time for you to reach into what you need. So you open up the can of pop to drink it, and it sprays all over the place. It's overflowing. Now, we don't want the pop to get on us, right? We hate to see it wasted. But think of the principle as it gets shaken, pressed down, and then what men put back into your bosom, that's how God blesses sometimes. He uses other people to do it. I want to give you four quick principles of what we've looked at this morning from God's word. Number one, giving to those who are needy is giving to God. Giving to those who are needy is giving to God. And so when you contemplate, oh, I don't know if I should help this person. I don't know if I should do this. I just want you to understand something very true. When you do it, it's really not for that person. You're doing it for God. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you came and you visited me when I was in prison. You gave me a cup of cold water when I was thirsty. You gave me bread when I was hungry. And well, when did I do that? And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these. Number two, generosity is prosperity. Okay? Having money is not prosperity. Having wealth is not prosperity. Being generous is being prosperous. Number three, stinginess is poverty. Stinginess is poverty. You say, well, I can't help it. I was raised that way. Well, then that's one of the cycles you need to break in your life. Stinginess is poverty. And number four, God rewards generosity by supplying for needs. God rewards generosity by supplying for needs. Now, one of the greatest illustrations of this in Rachel and I's life, we were newlyweds. We'd been married less than a year. And I had the opportunity, I was finishing up my senior year of college. Rachel had just finished up student teaching, and she was working part-time at the school, doing substitute work. And I got a call from a church in Illinois that I was going to go be able to preach there. We lived in Wisconsin. It wasn't a real far drive, about an hour and a half, two-hour drive. And so we're getting ready to drive to go preach it because God gave me the opportunity. And so I wanted to go and do it. Well, as we're getting ready to go, my car gets a leak, a bad leak in the engine. I worked at a car dealership. I worked in the service area. And so I had one of the mechanics look at it, and he looks at me and he says, well, he says, it's going to cost you $250. Now, at that point in my life, $250, that's $1 million, all right? It was a lot of money. And he said, that's going to cost $250 to get that fixed. And I said, well, I said, is it safe to drive to Illinois? And he said, ah, he goes, I wouldn't do it if I were you. So I talked with Rachel, and we had to make a decision. I could call the church, cancel, say, sorry, my car is not working right, I can't come, or just trust God. And so we decided we were going to trust God. So we start driving out there, and it's leaking oil, and it's smoking. All right, you could tell where we've been. You could just follow the trail of the cloud of smoke. And we pull up to the first toll plaza, and we look at each other. We had spent our very last bit of money to put gas in the car to drive there. And so we didn't have enough to pay the toll. And so they gave us a little IOU slip. And, oh, this is cool. We're just going to, you know, collect IOUs. So we went through a few tolls and just collected these slips where we needed to pay back for the toll. We get to the church. The car is just billowing in smoke. I remember when we stopped, when we parked, that it was just this huge cloud of smoke. And I thought, well, we made it, you know. We'll see what God does to get us home. We had a great day at the church. In the afternoon, we worked with the youth group, did a youth rally. Rachel sang in the morning and evening service. I got to preach at the youth rally and preach in the evening service. And we had a great time. We're getting ready to leave. And the pastor says, here, he gives me an envelope. He gives me some cash for some gas. That was really good because we were out of gas. And he gives us a bag of quarters to pay for all of our tolls. Both the ones that we would have to go through and the ones that we had already gone through. And so we stopped at the gas station. Now, I had been praying that God would give $200 for that trip so that we would have enough to about fix the engine, okay? Oh, me of little faith. Rachel was praying for $250. I didn't know how much she was praying for. She didn't know how much I was praying for. But that's what we were praying for. And so while I'm gassing up, Rachel says, can I open the envelope? And I, yeah, sure. So she opens it up, and guess how much it was? $250. Because God is a great supplier. Now, the great thing about it is I get back and the mechanic says, all right, you buy the parts, I'll fix it, I'll trade you labor for labor. I cleaned his car and he fixed the engine on my vehicle. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of supplier that we serve. And see, and here's what God calls from us. He says, at a time when people want to wrap their arms around what they have and say, I've got to protect mine, because we fear what might happen. We fear all of the worst that could happen in this world. We live in a time where we're encouraged to do that. But you know what our God says? Give, and it shall be given unto you a life of generosity. I have never once given to help somebody and regretted it. Yep, I've had people take advantage of generosity. Certainly have. Never regretted it. Because when we do that, we don't do it for ourselves. We're doing it for God. And our God rewards generosity by supplying for our needs. But you know, part of the problem is we don't see God that way all the time. And maybe we don't see God that way because we don't know him as Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, being generous would be a really great thing, but it won't do anything for you in getting you to heaven. This morning, the only way to get to heaven, as the choir is saying about this morning, it's through knowing Jesus Christ. And as the Allen family is saying, Jesus saves. Jesus saves because he died on the cross for your sin. He was buried and he rose again. He didn't stay dead, he rose again, and he's coming back.
Amen. That's right.
And he wants you to put your faith and trust in what he has done for you, not in what you do for him. And this morning he wants you to confess your sin. He wants you to acknowledge that you need him to be your Savior. Believe in the work that he has done and he will save you. And this morning you need to have an attitude that says, yes, Lord, I want you to be my boss. I'm willing to get out of the throne of my life and let you be in the throne of my life. And you know, this morning, Jesus Christ, he will save you. If you hear this morning, you say, well, I'm already saved. Then live the generous life. And if you've never lived it before, you have no idea what you're in store for. You have no idea of how God fills up that cricket jar and allows you to distribute it to other people. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you that in Proverbs that Solomon taught his son the wisdom of generosity. And then, Lord Jesus, that you reiterated the point by telling us to give and it shall be given to you. I just ask, Lord, that this morning, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this morning that they would just surrender to you. Lord, you will save them. Lord, for every Christian that's here this morning, I pray that we would be so encouraged, that we'd be so motivated to say, I want to see what my God can do. And Lord, I pray that as we act in generosity, that we would just see the good things that you do. And so, Lord, we just commit now to you our attitudes of saying, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to. I will help where you want me to. I will give what you want me to. And Lord, there is no telling what you will do in changing our hearts and minds and in uplifting our faith. So Lord, just glorify your name through this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a closing song. We're going to sing, Lord, I Need You. And as we sing that, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come up here and just tell me that you want to do that. And we'll have somebody pray with you. You can know Jesus Christ this morning. You can leave with the assurance of heaven. And if God has spoken to your heart about generosity this morning, hey, there's only one thing to do. And that's to give. Be generous. Find a way to let God use you. And so let's close out this time here together.
temptation comes my way.
And when I cannot stand up on you,
Jesus, you're my
church body is accept new people into fellowship. And Bob Crum, if you don't know Bob, he is Lynn Anderson's brother, or as she'll introduce him, as her son, but right. They are brother and sister. And Bob has come forward. He's been saved. He's been baptized. He's been a member at Grace General Baptist Church, and he would like to move his membership here to 12th Street. And so if we can have a motion to accept Bob Crum into membership. I have a first, a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Bob, we're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to you in the back. So welcome to 12th Street, my brother.
Thank you.
So go ahead and go to the back. And we'll... And this morning, Dave Crest has esophageal cancer. And he has come to ask that we as a church would anoint him and pray, lay hands on him and pray over him. And also on Pat as well, as this is not an easy journey for her either. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal, and anyone who would like to come to the front, we're going to lay our hands on them, anoint them with oil, as the scripture says in James, and pray that God will do his wonderful work in their lives. So let's pray together. Lord God, as we close out our time together, I thank you that we've had a good time this morning and hearing from your word and hearing from you in song. And Lord, what a great God you are. I thank you that you give us words to express our thanks. And I thank you that you speak back to us and that your spirit speaks to us. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would go from here continuing to listen. And as we meet back again together tonight at 6, I just pray that you'd bless our time with the Allen family, that you'd use them to once again just encourage us, challenge us. And Lord, if there are any that come tonight that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that tonight there would be some that receive that wonderful gift of salvation. And so as we go from here, Lord, be pleased with all that we do and say. You are our God and we love you. To him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.